Harbor Church, we are a family of God, bound together to glorify and enjoy Him forever. This podcast series is a safe way to answer the questions that you, our community, has concerning the Bible, its tenets, and any other theological questions or concerns that you have come across as you join Harbor in our mission here in Mooresville and dig deeper into God's message, study His mission here on earth, or ponder your place in His wonderful plan. Thank you for dropping your anchor with HarborCast as we look forward to bringing light to these questions, big and small.
Welcome back to HarborCast, the official podcast of Harbor Church in Mooresville, North Carolina. We've been off for a few weeks, so glad to get back on the saddles. I guess you could call this season two. I don't know if we have seasons, but there you go. If we do, it's season two. But we've got a whole new lineup for this fall. I'm really excited about some of our guests. We're going to start off today with, I think, a really good and practical question. The question is, how do you spiritually encourage your spouse, particularly in the faith? Tyler, I was just going to ask you, you know, in thinking about that question, what factors do you think might make it difficult for somebody to even broach the subject or think about starting that sort of
thing? Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's kind of an obvious answer, but sin. Yep. Sin makes it so yep. hard. And I'm thinking even specifically about pride. You know, I think we have this tendency that in our marriages, we tend to adopt the idea that we need to be served. You know, I'm the king, this is my kingdom, and these are all the servants to serve me in my kingdom. So I think one of the first and maybe some of the most difficult things to work through is to really come to realize my marriage is not about serving me. My life is not about serving me. And so I think maybe a helpful passage even to kind of get the conversation started is 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll just read just the section to husbands. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the graces of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I think especially a key part of that is remembering and realizing that our spouses are heirs with us in the grace of life. So I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. My spouse is a sinner in need of God's grace. And that's the playing field that we're on. And I think when we realize that, then we can, maybe with a little bit more confidence and comfort, encourage our spouse, because we realize that the goal of my marriage is not for me to be served, but as a sinner, to serve another sinner with God's grace.
And I think that's really wise to just take a step back and realize, okay, who are we? Well, we're sinners in need of grace. And so really, as I was thinking about this question, I was thinking about, well, really, this is just a discipleship question. I mean, you could ask the same question of how do you spiritually encourage anybody? So I guess, you know, the short version of this podcast is, well, just disciple them like you would any other Christian, right? But obviously, there's some difficulties, right? You just mentioned really not quite understanding what our role is within marriage. I also wrote down a few things. I think that particularly for men, and I find that a lot of guys, when they think about this subject, they feel kind of inadequate. Maybe they don't feel like they have a lot of Bible knowledge, or perhaps their fear of being rejected. I know, as you probably know too, if you've done family devotions, especially if you've got kids around, it's a little difficult. Or sometimes you're just too busy. You know, we have stuffed our schedule so much that at the end of the day, my last thought is not, how can I pray with my wife? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, what TV show can we pop on before we drop dead of exhaustion? And so to a certain extent, a lot, like some of the practical stuff is we need to build in routines for this. We need to carve out time for it and to be okay with, it doesn't have to be a John Piper sermon, you know, or amazing hard hitting thing that has to happen. Sometimes it's just having a conversation with your spouse, opening God's word and reading it. Maybe you don't even talk about it, just read it. Maybe it's just praying with each other.
Yeah. And I think that especially when it comes to encouraging our spouses with the word, I think there's kind of two things that maybe you could think about with that. The power is not in you, right? Yeah. It's not in you as a spouse having to transform your spouse.
Yeah.
The power is in God through his spirit by means of the word. And so you may think, well, what good is it going to do for me to remind my spouse about the text from the sermon or, a promise from one of the Psalms? But the power isn't in you or your ability to persuade your spouse. Like Ephesians 5 says that husbands are to wash their wives with the word. And it's the word that does the washing in our hearts. And so even though that's a command for husbands, especially towards their wives, you know, that encouragement goes both ways. And when we encourage each other with the word, what we're really doing is we're reminding our spouse in a time of maybe doubt or self-forgetfulness. We're reminding them of what's true. Sometimes I just need to be reminded God's in control. Sometimes I just need to be reminded you are not the sum of your work. You are loved no matter what. And so that comes through being reminded of what's true. And that comes through the word. And maybe one last thought I have on that is sometimes the hardest part is not even opening the word and reading it. It's being present enough to see what the need is, which lets us know what truth our spouse needs. And that's honestly hard work. At the end of the day, sometimes, like you mentioned, you just want to turn yourself off and totally veg out. But we have to at least reserve enough stamina and energy to pay attention to our spouse, to see what they need. I can open up and say, hey, today we're reading in Psalm 1, and tomorrow we're reading Psalm 2, and that's a great practice, and that's more than a lot of us maybe even grew up with. But it's another thing to say, oh man, my spouse looks like they're being blown to and fro just with how the day's unfolded. Let's go to Psalm 1 and see that we can be strong and planted like a tree if we meditate on God's word. And so if we can stay in tune with what's actually going on in the spouse, what is going on in their heart, which reveals to me the truth that they might need, then you can come and you can apply the proper medicine to the proper ailment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, underneath that, it should drive us personally to more prayer. Mm-hmm. One of the most helpful pastoral points I ever received related to this topic is I went to a conference once, and it was a breakout session, and the guy was talking about how to minister to your wife. So this is pastors talking about pastors' wives. And he talked about how when he is done with the day, and I'm sure this is probably something a lot of guys can get, or I think you could probably conversely think about, you know, maybe a mom who's been wrangling children all day or being at work and then wrangling children, that the thought of now entering into family life feels impossible. And to a certain extent, I think God allows that to be kind of hard so that we sit in the parking, you know, sitting in our driveway, which is what this guy was talking about. He's like, sometimes I sit in my driveway and I just pray, Lord, I don't have enough to be a dad and a husband when I walk through that door. I need your help. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's not merely, well, God's tapping his toe and he's waiting for you to do all the things you're supposed to do, but God comes and God empowers us to do the things that sometimes feel very impossible. one way that, besides the ordinary sort of regularly praying with your spouse, which I think would be a great thing, or reading with your spouse, I also think, too, like you said, sometimes it's occasional, and those occasional ministry to one another. One of the things that my wife and I do quite often is, in the middle of an argument, we say, time out, we need to pray. We need to pray about this. And I'll tell you, it's really hard, because I had a lot of good arguments. but sometimes it's just that. It's those random moments where we're exhausted or we're tired or something has happened. Time out. We need the Lord right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So what we're talking a lot about how to encourage your spouse in the Lord. What would that kind of look like if your spouse is not a believer?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a really hard situation because, you know, you love this person, you care about this person, and yet they don't share your faith, and you're hoping that they will someday. And I would say that it looks less like discipleship and more like evangelism to a certain extent. And the Bible actually has at least two places that I looked up some words of encouragement in that regard. So in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul addresses this very topic of what should you do if you have someone, a believer who's married to an unbeliever? And probably the situation is, especially this early on in the church, two unbelievers are married, but one happens to come to faith in the middle of that marriage. What do you do now? And he says, stay together. And he says that, he says this kind of wild thing, which maybe is a whole nother topic, but he says, your spouse, your husband, is now holy because of your faith. Now, I don't think that means holy like perfect or righteous or even saved, but there's something special and set apart. And he says, that's true because, of course, your children are, which that gets into a lot of other things, too, in terms of our relationship to our kids and baptism and so forth and so on. But the idea is that your husband or your wife, who is not a believer, is in the best place to get the gospel because you have faith in that relationship. And so that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 7:16, he says, for how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? And how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? It's a hopeful encouragement to say, hey, you know, you're sticking with this marriage, you being the best spouse you can, you praying for your spouse and reading to your spouse if they allow, you know, if they are open to it. You know, those are all things that build upon one another. In 1 Peter, 1 Peter 3:1, he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, and I think you could probably say, probably thinking non-Christians, but you could probably add in there, or how about a believer who's not living like a believer, or is not acting like one in that particular moment, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, so that they see your respectful and pure conduct. So there are times when even just you being a better Christian, you being a Christian in that marriage, has weight and value. And so I would say, if you want to minister to your unbelieving spouse, be a good husband, be a good wife, and look for opportunities and pray for opportunities. I have a heart for, you know, those even in our congregation who have spouses who don't believe, and they're constantly on my prayers. That's a really hard and difficult place, but it's a good place. I think that's exactly where God wants it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that especially living a Christian conduct when our spouse is not, that's tough for all of us. You know, I know it's tough for my wife to stay calm and self-controlled when I'm starting to feel my temper go up. And sometimes, you know, as a spouse, you feel like I have earned the right to respond at the same level that they're at. And our culture would say, if you don't respond at that same level that you're at, you're a pushover and you're getting walked all over. But we remember Christ who stayed silent at the hand of his accusers and who exercised self-control even though he was being spit on and beaten and harmed. And that's not saying that, you know, an abusive spouse should have. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that it's really hard not to match our spouse's sinful heart or sinful actions, and to stay self-controlled. But that's part of the way we minister to our spouse, and our spouse ministers to us. Because it reminds me, oh, I'm starting to lose my temper with the kids. My spouse is staying calm. I need to come back down.
Yeah, and just to add one last thing, sometimes the best thing you can do is repent. Repent before your spouse, or repent before your kids, because we are not called to be sinless. Yeah, we should strive for godliness, absolutely, but we're not going to be. That means you're going to fail in these things. And so, you know, the Bible constantly puts before us that we want to change, we want to grow, and if we want to care for others, it starts with repentance. So perhaps maybe even with your unbelieving spouse, perhaps the best thing you can do is repent before them in the ways in which you've sinned against them. They need to see this is what the Christian life is like. It's repentance.
I think that might even be a great place to kind of wrap everything up. You know, our spouse needs a lot of things. We need a lot of things. Our children need a lot of things. But more than anything, more than seeing a dad who has self-control over his tongue or his anger or his discouragement, they need to see a dad, a mom, a husband, a wife who turns to the Lord, confesses their sin, and clings to Christ.
Yep, absolutely. Well, on that note, let's pray for marriages in our church, and that we might learn a little bit more about what it might look like to encourage each other. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, you are great, and you're wise, good, and I thank you the people that you have put us together in. And I pray that you would help us to spiritually encourage them, whether they have faith, Lord, that we might see more abundant fruit of the gospel. Lord, please, I pray that for those of us who are maybe married in difficult situations, Lord, help us to persevere. I ask, please, Lord, that we would get to see your hand at work in our relationship. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for dropping your anchor with HarborCast. Please visit us on the web at harborchurch.org for more information about what we believe, what we do to serve our community, and how you can get involved in our mission here in Mooresville. And finally, follow HarborCast wherever you listen to podcasts. May the Lord continue to equip you to share the good news about Jesus.